to sum up the message of today's culture in one sentence, it might be something like, be true to yourself. Or maybe it's my body, my life, my choice. From advertisements to social media, from movies to music, we're told that freedom means autonomy. That real joy comes from doing what I want, when I want, with my body, with my money, and with my life. And then the Apostle Paul steps into that worldview and drops a sentence that can feel like a slap in the face. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the second part of verse 19, Paul says, "You are not your own. You are not your own." That sentence confronts everything we assume about freedom and identity and ownership. And yet, if Paul is right, I believe he is, if Paul is right, this sentence is not a threat to our joy. It's the doorway to our joy. So as we look through 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I hope we're going to see some truths that shape the Christian life. Firstly, I want to point to Paul's question in verse 1, slightly paraphrased, and this is my first point, the question, how dare you? How dare you? Those are fighting words, aren't they? They're the words you use when a line has been crossed, when something is so wrong, so upside down, that it demands confrontation. How dare you? And that's exactly how the Apostle Paul begins our passage today. He's not gentle. He's not subtle. He's shocked. He's outraged even. How dare you, he says. But he doesn't say this to the pagans around about him. He doesn't say this to the Roman courts. He says this to the church. The Corinthian believers, people who profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Saviour, those who are filled with spiritual gifts, who sing worship songs and take the Lord's Supper together, well, they're suing one another in secular courts. And Paul says, how dare you? Or, as our Bible passage puts it, do you dare? Do you dare to do this? But this passage isn't really about lawsuits. Rather, it's about identity. It's about holiness. It's about whether the gospel has truly changed them and us, or whether we're just baptized versions of the same old world around about us. So as we look at this text, let's see what the Spirit might be saying to the church today. Following on from previous chapters in 1 Corinthians, we see here in chapter 6, Paul addressing yet another shocking problem with the church. In verse 1, if any of you has a dispute with another, do you dare to take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the Lord's people? Notice that tone. Do you dare? Paul is astonished. And he's astonished not because disputes exist. Of course, conflicts can happen wherever people live together. But Paul is astonished because of how the Corinthian Christians are handling disputes with one another. They're dragging one another before unbelieving judges. The ungodly, as Paul describes them. I've got a version of the NIV which is very slightly different from the church Bibles. I apologise for that. And Paul uses the phrase ungodly. He does in here in this Bible too, so that's great. They're dragging each other before the ungodly. We perhaps need to understand that the courts in Corinth in Jesus' time, in Paul's time, were part of the marketplace. They were part of the entertainment of everyday life. Anybody ever watch Judge Judy on the telly? It's a bit similar to that. Corinthians would gather together around the open court whilst complainants and defendants aired their dirty laundry, hoping for either vindication or condemnation according to what side they were on. But the judges weren't members of the church. They didn't judge according to godly wisdom. They judged according to the wisdom of the culture of the day. And we've learned in previous chapters of 1 Corinthians just how corrupt and ungodly that was. They were airing church family business before the watching ungodly world. The church members taking their petty issues before the secular courts are saying, in effect, well, the church can't be trusted to deal with this. And Paul says that should never be. Why? Because the church isn't just some sort of social club that gets together to pat one another on the back and cheer people up now and again. It's not some loose association of religious consumers. The church is and are the people of God. Those indwelled by the Spirit of God. Those under the authority of the Word of God. And when Christians fight like the rest of the world, the gospel, the good news of Christ, is mocked. Paul goes even further in verses 2 and 3. Do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? Do you not know that we will judge angels? This is staggering. Paul is saying believers, redeemed, glorified, united with Christ, will one day participate in God's judgment of the world. As they are in Christ, so they will judge with Christ when he judges. If that's true, Paul asks, can't you judge a small claims court? Can't you sort this out between yourselves? Now, the issue isn't really competence, about whether or not someone in the church is wise enough to mediate a dispute. The issue really is something like spiritual amnesia. They've forgotten who they are. In verse 5, Paul says something I would find quite painful, really. He says, I say this to shame you. Shame on you. That's strong language, isn't it? How not to win friends and influence people. But Paul isn't trying to win a popularity contest. He's trying to wake the Corinthian Christians up. He asks, is there really nobody wise among you? Is there not one person mature enough to mediate a dispute? The Corinthians prided themselves on wisdom. They loved philosophy, they loved rhetoric, and they loved status.